Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Yes, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be.
Good evening, everyone. I trust that you've had a productive day and that you have at least one thing you can give God thanks for. Amen? God has been good to us. His mercy is everlasting. Brothers and sisters, we have this opportunity and the privilege to come before God. Welcome once more those who are visiting the first time to our covenant series here at the Joy of Troy SDA Church. How many of you have been blessed thus far? How many of you want to hear more from the Word of God? Last evening, if you weren't here, and for those who weren't here, the Lord spoke to us as we focused on the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 13, 15, and dabbling into 17, where we will continue this evening. But last night we understood in the Abrahamic covenant that God wants to enlarge our territory. Not only does he want to enlarge your territory, but he wants to enrich your heritage and legacy for his purpose. And not only does God want to enrich your legacy and your lineage, but he wants to also bless your families and bless those who bless you and curse those that curse you, meaning that God has your back. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is a promise I can depend on. Yes. This evening, the sermon entitled The Sign of the Covenant. The Sign of the Covenant bow your heads as we approach our Lord and Savior. Our most gracious, loving, heavenly Father, you're so awesome. Thank you. The opportunity you've given us to come before your presence in thanksgiving. Our hearts filled with praise. Knowingly, dear God, that we're not worthy, but because of you, we are worthy. It is only because of your power that we understand the almightiness of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit here. Demonstrate that power once more as we ask that you illuminate our minds and let our hearts be receptive of what it is that you have to say. Bless us this evening. Take away the distractions. Rebuke Satan, who wants to destroy, distract, and devour. And at the end of the day, dear God, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. We're picking up from last evening. Genesis chapter 17. When you found chapter 17, say amen. Amen. Oh wow, we're ready. And when you found verse 7, say hallelujah. You gotta stay awake tonight. I need you to stay awake. We're gonna be flipping scripture. 17:7. Follow me when you're hearing. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for what? An everlasting, a perpetual covenant. To be a God unto what? Thee, and to thy home, seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy what? Seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a what? Stranger. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep what? My commandment. Therefore, and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant. Follow now, verse 10. Which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what? Circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a what? Token of the covenant between me and what? You. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for what? Everlasting. Brothers and sisters, in this chapter, we see the beginning of a sign of a covenant. We understand that a sign, according to God's standards, is always what? Perpetual. God has left tokens for you and me. But this Abrahamic covenant, this circumcision, was a demonstration of our commitment to whom? God. It was not only between him and God, but what? The generations after him. Now you understand where scripture says, and God wants you to be a what? A living water. Water fountain. Springing up what? Everlasting water. Living water. Springing up into everlasting life. God wants you to be nurtured in order that you can nurture. Remember now, he saved you in order that he can what? Use you to save others. This circumcision was a mark. Was it a mark of a beast? It wasn't a mark or a defect to separate or segregate you in a negative manner. But it was a mark to separate and segregate you and I from the world. Now, we know that this circumcision was an Abrahamic circumcision of a what? An old covenant. Yet it was a sign. In the Hebrew, circumcise is a strong verb meaning mal, to strip and separate. God wants to separate you from the world. Last night we understood that in order for Abraham to commit to that covenant that God established with him, he had to get what? Out of his comfort zone. Get out of thy country. God wants to expand your territory. Don't put limitations on God. And don't let anybody else put limitations on you. Because God hasn't. Ain't no mountain high enough. And ain't no valley low enough that God ain't been with you. He's been with you in the lowest of the lowest and the highest of the highest. Somebody say amen. Amen. As we go into this sign of a covenant, we now understand in today's society, we no longer need circumcision as a rite of passage to demonstrate our commitment and consecration to God. Paul speaks about it in Romans. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, reading from verses 25 to 29. I'll wait for you for a bit. Romans chapter 2, verse 25 to 29. And the word of God says here, "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou," what? "Keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made," what? "Uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision kept the righteousness," or "the uncircumcised kept the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for" what? "Circumcision. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and" what? "Circumcision dost transgress the law?" Verse 28, he says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." You remember, we talked about the image of God. And we talked on Sabbath, for those who weren't here on Sabbath, the image of God, this reflection, this mirror, this shadow. Was not the one you and I would depict in our minds. How God must fit our standard of a physical appearance. And some of us are more focused on the physical transformation because society demands it. If you want a good job, you've got to dress the part. If you want the promotion, you've got to walk the part. They tell you when you come to church, and that's some churches. If you got to sing, and if you want to preach, and if you want to go on the platform, you've got to look the part and have the right suit, and you've got to sit the right way and cross your feet the right way and talk the right way. Because many folks are focused on the outward circumcision. God is not focused on individuals who believe they have a rite of passage or entitlement to his covenant. You are entitled by grace, but you're not entitled by heritage or legacy. You're entitled because God permits it for you and I to be able to consecrate ourselves to him, to circumcise our hearts, and to commit to him once more. A lot of us, we need what I call spiritual operations. You go into the hospital. For some of us, we just want to go in that one time, that one check. We don't even want a second opinion. We just want that one opinion, you sure, and we out. Some of us, we don't even want a diagnosis. We want to go and tell the doctor how to diagnose us. I'm okay, doc. So we tell God, I'm good where I am, God. My standard of spirituality, my standard of commitment is enough. You can't check into the hospital, right? You want to get a cure. You want to be fixed. But when the doctor tells you how to go about having that operation or that procedure to cure yourself of that spiritual disease, you can't give him the standards and the demands. Because guess what happens? If you leave the hospital and you don't do it the right way, you come back. You got to come for a double bypass. For some of us, we got to return for a triple bypass. And God wants to do it right the first time. He's not focused on those that wants to demonstrate to the world that they're righteous and holy. He's looking for what? The sinners. God didn't come to save the what? The righteous. He came to save the sinners and call them to repentance. And that's the demeanor, that spirit that we must have in regards to circumcision. In the old covenant, the circumcision and that sign was a one-time demonstration to separate ones from the world and demonstrate that we are God's chosen people. But God is asking you to circumcise your heart every day because he needs you to separate yourself from the world.
Leviticus 26, the book of Leviticus 26, verse 40 to 42. God's word says, if they what? Confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and will remember the land.
I love that. God is telling you right here, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. That's it. God is looking for you to confess your sins. First off, he said to confess your sins and the iniquities of your fathers and your forefathers. What he's saying, he knows you are the way you are because of those who came before you. But he's prepared to work with you anyway. He'll take what he's got. He does not need circumcised hearts to be a perfect, smooth process. What he's saying is, come and let me do it anyhow. And then I will fulfill that promise. I will keep that promise. Give you that land, that farmland, that access,
the thing, the place. See, you know what's so good about it? He's promising a people in Israel, right? A land that's not theirs. Something that they're not entitled to, Pastor Langley. They're not entitled to it. But he's saying, get up from where you think you belong and let me take you where you need to be. God wants to take you from here and he wants to take you up there. And some of us, we're too comfortable down here. That's what God wants of you and me. He can't get you from here unless you commit to him today. And no waiting for tomorrow. No waiting for tomorrow. We're so good at delaying. We're so good at delaying.
It's a story for gentlemen. He was an athlete, a swimmer. Top tier private schools, high school, and eventually went to Ivy League on scholarships. This young man named Kyle was training not only to be the best swimmer he can be, but to be an Olympian champion in college. The pressures were there, though. His whole life he struggled with meeting the demands that he knew God expected of him. He was raised in the church, raised by his grandmother, taken to church. She was the one that put him in a YMCA boys club where he could learn how to swim. But you see, he forgot those gifts that God gave to him was to be used for God's purpose. Eventually, he straight away stopped going to church. You know how the story goes, like every prodigal son-daughter story. I mean, we all have a prodigal son and daughter story, don't we? Well, this one, Kyle, was faced with a lot of pressure. Started to take drugs, dose up on enhancements, jeopardize his career, his college scholarship, and all of these things. Sadly, he started putting his focus in the wrong things. Friends, love, lust. And it was when his grandmother had passed away, Satan found a good, opportune time. Do you see? You see, sometimes our acquaintance with the church resides with that biological attachment. Some of us only come to church because our parents came to church before us, or our grandmother came to church, or so on, so on. That's the lineage. And then some of us are here because God is good. Amen? This young man, Kyle, went into severe depression. Grandmother passed away. He had no one. Not only that, a few weeks later, his girlfriend decided to leave him. And he was lost, scattered, easily wavered between the world. He was not able to draw nearer to Christ and flee away from Satan, as James says. One night he got intoxicated, went out with some friends, actually decided to get behind the wheel of a car. They went out partying, driving and swerving, and speeding as fast as they could on a highway. And lo and behold, one of the friends in the back seat said, "You know what? Let's go to the pool house. Let's go and jump off the diving board." So this story doesn't end with a car crash. They got to the pool house at the university, broke into this pool house, and intoxicated, these friends, they decided to just climb up this ladder that leads to about 100 feet of a pinnacle point of which they could jump into this Olympian pool. But it was at that time when you believe that God forsakes you,
brothers and sisters, God steps in always at the right time. The covenant and the sign that he has for you. You know what I love? Train up a child in the way he should go and they will never run from it. God doesn't expect your circumcision process to be smooth. Neither does he expect each of us to do it the same way. Kyle was just a different, peculiar individual. He knew the word. He knew God. But he just couldn't commit. He couldn't accept that covenant. But as he watched his friends horseplay and eventually start plunging into the pool, the pressure now is he had to take a shot and jump back. Only funny thing is they wanted him to go first. You know, it's amazing. Satan always wants us to do something first that God definitely doesn't even want us to try. That peer pressure. You always got people that lead you astray, but then they want to put you in the front line. And rather than having Satan put you in his front line, you need God to put you in his front line. Anyhow, to cut the story short, Kyle was just faced with this pressure, and as he was on the verge of taking this shot, he took this shot, whatever was in it. And as he's standing there, he's just empty. And he said, "Father, help me." At that time, he's standing there. He's about to lean back. And he's standing on the board, and he saw his friends laughing at him. And he's looking over, can't really see. Saw a little bit of the light in the pool, but the gym lights were off, so he really could not see down in the pool, but this was the dare his friends told him to make. As he stretched out his hands, Pastor Langley, and he looked behind his friends, he saw a shadow. And he saw a shadow that resembled the cross. And right away, Kyle remembered that he was created in God's image. He remembered that he was a child of the King. And in that moment of despair, of great depression, and where he believed that God had forgotten about him, there was a sense of relief that overtook him, and right away he broke down and started crying. Told his friends, "I've got to go. I've got to go." His friends started calling him names and laughing at him and saying, "You're a punk, and you're not one of us. You'll never be cool," and whatever the standards of the world. Any which way they tried to label us, he did not care. And as Kyle was going down the ladder, the janitor in the gym came in and cut on the light. When he turned on that light, the gentleman saw Kyle and the boys. And right away as they turned on the light, all of the boys realized that the pool that they were planning to jump into was not filled with water. Right then, at that time, Kyle realized that when he believed that God didn't love him the most, didn't care about him, was so estranged from him, couldn't feel his presence, in that moment, God stepped in and kept his promise. God stepped in and gave him a sign and reminded him on the cross, Calvary, that saved you and me. If there's a sign, brothers and sisters, that I want to remember, a sign that I want to remember is to have that cross in my heart in order that I can consecrate myself to Jesus. That is what God is calling for you and me. It's a decision between life and death. Choosing Christ is literally life. Choosing the devil and this world is death. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't want you to ignore the signs. God doesn't want you to ignore his covenant, and God does not want you to ignore his love. Brothers and sisters, the whole reason he wants your hearts to be circumcised is order that you can really receive and appreciate the full magnitude of his love.
You can't feel God's love until you get your heart circumcised. You can't. You can love Jesus, but do you want to be in love with Jesus? That's the question. And that's what God is calling you and I to do this evening. He's calling you to accept His sign, a sign of circumcision, to separate yourself from this world in order that He can take you from here to there, for you to bear His sign in order that it could reflect His image, in order that He could say, "You are my child and I am your father." That's what God wants to do tonight. If that is your desire, to bear the sign of the covenant by allowing the cross to be placed in your heart, for your heart to be circumcised, to commit to Jesus anew. If that is your desire this evening, will you stand? Will you stand if you want to bear the sign of the covenant and separate yourself as one of God's children in order that you can be taken to what? Does what Leviticus says? To the land. That land He's promised you. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what the Israelites felt like trying to get out of Egypt and cross over into Canaan, the land of milk and honey. But I know a place that's got a table with milk and honey, and I'm welcomed at it, and God wants you to feast at it. He has a place for you. He's going to remove you out of this place and take you to His. But you have to accept Him in your heart. At this time, I want to take a few moments to make a final appeal this evening to that individual or individuals here. They've been struggling with the decision to give their whole heart entirely. God ain't want a part of it. He wants all of it. And He's asked you, choose me today. You hear Him speaking to you, but you also you hear another voice that's trying to tell you not to do it. This is a mockery. This too shall pass. This is just going with the motions. No, God is not a guy that sits on a wave that goes with the motions. God is the ocean. God wants you to jump in. God wants you to take all of Him. If someone here wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they want to draw closer to Him and have a committed relationship with Him, separate themselves from this world. They want to begin to study anew and prepare to give their life anew by being baptized. Because brothers and sisters, that's what it's about. And I'm not talking about being baptized by the water. I'm talking about being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That begins tonight. The power of prayer at the foot of the altar is the biggest baptism you could ever have. And someone this evening wants to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. They say, "God, take my life and let it be consecrated full to Thee." If that is your desire, will you come down? We have 30 seconds. We don't want to keep you. But you're saying, "God, take me as I am. Take my life and let it be consecrated full to Thee." That is your desire. Will you come down? God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. Praise the Lord. There's someone else. God is waiting for you, and God will always wait for you. He's been waiting for you His whole life. And guess what? He'll wait for you as long as you don't think He's caring about you. He's going to prove it to you. So you can delay, 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 delay. But I'll tell you, you've got to make a choice one day. But my prayer is that the Holy Spirit rest upon you all, that we all could draw closer to Christ
that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the opportunity that you've given us to bear that sign of the covenant. Thank you, dear God, for sending your Son to die in order that we can have circumcised hearts. That if we believe and accept you as our Lord and Savior, we have direct access to the Father. And he's saying that he has a place for us. He wants to take us out of this land and take us to the promised land, that land of eternity, that dwelling place, that dwelling sanctuary, that new Jerusalem. Oh, dear God, it's a promise that we can hold on to. Thank you for your covenant. Thank you for committing to us even when we don't commit to you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Bless us, dear God. Bless those and these two individuals that came forward. They've decided that, dear God, they need that power, oh, the promise of the Father to rest upon them and to change their hearts and transform it. Give them a triple bypass. Heavenly Father, allow your blood to be infused in them. Give them a blood transfusion as well. That they can walk in your footsteps. They can talk your words and reflect your thoughts and bear the image of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we each stand here as a testimony of your mercy and grace. Be with each and every one of us. Listen to our heart's desires, our prayers, dear God, and answer it according to your will. Thank you for keeping a safe hedge around us. And we ask that you rebuke Satan. Oh, he wants to strip our lives. He wants to rip away our eternal reward. But you're so good because you keep on doing it and doing it again. Thank you for doing it again tonight. For reminding us about Jesus who died on Calvary, the sweetest gift, this promise, this pact made by you. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, let your Holy Spirit leave with us, dwell with us in our places. Bless us and bring us back out tomorrow evening, if it is your will, and if the resurrection morning doesn't happen in the morning, oh, dear God, come soon, come soon. But until that time, let us draw closer to thee. This is our prayer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tomorrow evening, you don't want to miss out. Bring your friend, bring your neighbor, bring your stranger, bring your cats and your dogs, but also your kettles and your leashes too. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed night. Tomorrow evening, sermon entitled, The Pat. You want to come right back here, be here 7 o'clock sharp, and I'll be here 7 o'clock sharp too. The Pat, brothers and sisters, as we continue the covenant series. God bless and have a wonderful evening.